also use it on your laptop, and it increases the light that comes towards your face, which makes you look, I don't know, I think it makes you look a little healthier and like more like you're outside in the sun type thing. But it's supposed to be what, you know, all the news people are using now, zooming from their home and stuff like that to make them look better. And it's only like so big around. He's talking about the lighting where he is. About Chelsea's Zoom ring that Amy
bought. Everybody froze?
Hello. Carol, no, we can hear you. Rick, I wish you'd choose more colorful color. It's so bland and just.
I know. Well, I want to make sure they don't run over me today.
Okay.
I'm in gray, so.
I love it. Oh, man.
More color.
Hey, Bob's there.
Yeah, is Bob in the
house? Hey. Let me change. I got to turn on my picture.
There we go.
There we go. Yeah. Hi, Carol. Hi, Jim. Hi, Oscar.
Hey, hi, everybody. Where am I? Oh, how do you get this thing going? There. There you go. Bob, there's Cave. Wow. There we go.
We'll wait just one more minute, and we're going to try and close out like close to like 10:15, 10:20-ish, just because with the drive-by service. Time. We don't want any tickets.
We're going to be allowed at 10.
Yeah, I'm leaving at 10 also, Rick, so I'll meet you on the or Kathy.
We've got to stop at the store on the way, so we'll bail out a little bit early.
Yeah. Good.
There's Jim. Jim. Mm-hmm.
One's recording and one's watching.
Right. Yeah.
Again, assuming that's January 1st, getting through New Year's. And also with the drive-by service, that also doesn't help people to get ready and organize and all that. So looks like, okay. Did everyone get the readout for the topic for today?
Yep.
It's probably something you don't have any opinion about, Zoom and pretty boring and not very relevant to your life right now.
Hey, Pastor. Can I interrupt and just ask, I don't see Dottie. Can you give us an update on how she's doing?
Yeah, I'm going to do that. Yeah. Yeah, I can do that. I can start with our members that are kind of struggling right now. Dottie is, Trudy had Lumina come in to kind of, well, yeah, I think I told you that, Rick. They kind of did an assessment on Dottie. They're not going to put her technically on hospice, but she is only receiving palliative care at this time. She has pneumonia in her lungs, and there's also a spot there that they're not sure. They don't want to really do much because her body can't take any kind of, you know, invasive treatment or anything. So that's kind of where she's at. But they didn't want the congregation to know that word hospice, but the group that I've got here on the call, it's fine if you guys know. I don't think it's a big deal. But yeah, so Dottie's like borderline hospice.
Mm-hmm. But you realize that most people get discharged from hospice alive than dead. So that's a great thing about hospice, because they provide such excellent care that people actually get much better. So I think if more people knew that, there wouldn't be such a stigma with it.
Yeah. They're able to do more care where she's at without changing her location.
Right.
Oh, really good. Yeah.
Where is she from?
Hi, Kay. Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning, Kay.
Hi, Kay. Good
morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
So, hey, we got a bunch of happy birthdays too, don't we?
Yep, we got one I know of.
Oscar.
I think there's three of them, aren't there?
Three.
Who are the birthday folk?
Well, Jim's birthday is today, I think. Little Birdie told me. And
third.
Ellen.
Stop hiding, Jim. What's going on,
hey,
Jim?
Hey, come on, Jim.
Oscar, wasn't your birthday yesterday?
Yesterday.
I don't know. And isn't Bob's birthday like Wednesday or Thursday?
Yeah.
Wednesday.
Wednesday. Wow.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's easier to say who doesn't have a birthday that's on this call.
Yeah, that's
it. Chandler's birthday is today.
Man.
Who's?
Our grandson Chandler's birthday is today. He's 10. Oh, my gosh.
Double digits.
Double digits.
Bob, what are you doing for your birthday? What's the plan?
I go to a doctor's appointment in the morning, and
oops,
we're going to have a pork roast in the afternoon, if I pass. Yeah.
Nice.
How was your birthday, Oscar?
Great. Yeah. You don't always get lobster and crab cakes.
Wow.
I know. Yeah.
And you didn't invite me over.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Uh-oh. Carol, it's my birthday tomorrow.
Lobster for you.
Okay.
Oh, gosh, I'm joking.
Maybe it's us.
So, I froze up. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. You're okay.
Well, go ahead, Carol.
No, I'm done.
I wanted to communicate kind of the hygiene team, what's going to be shared with the congregation. The hygiene team met yesterday for a really good discussion. Kathy's on the team, so Kathy, just clean up any details I don't have. I'm just simply sharing what I heard and what was decided. The hygiene team really felt strongly that in-person worship is not a good choice for the month of January. It was pretty much six people all agreed that in-person worship isn't a great thing to do. So we are looking at trying to do, then a couple of them said, well, could we do drive-in services for the month of January? It's a very safe thing to do. And maybe just do live services outside for each Sunday. And so that's what we're looking to do. So the idea would be kind of like Christmas Eve, where it's a live service. You're attending, but you're in your car. And we'll keep the services probably 30, 40 minutes, not long. So you're not captive in that car and, you know, can't go anywhere. But so that's kind of what was decided yesterday. That's going to go out to the congregation today. So any questions on that, Kathy? Any, I want to add anything else to that?
No, I think we were just trying to stick kind of with the state's guidelines for what is okay. I know Rick doesn't agree that that's a good option, but I mean.
I yield to the team.
Yeah, you know, he's ready to be back in the church every Sunday, and I know a lot of people are, but I think, I don't know. There's a few strong voices on that committee. So,
yeah, it's,
you notice I wasn't talking a whole lot. So,
I was out on a walk this morning, and as I always am, and Darren Schnell stopped me. That is the son of Diane Schell. Mm-hmm. You know, Diane, the camera lady. At church. So I got to see Diane too. She was with Darren. And Darren's a good friend of mine. He's a physical therapist in Corvallis. And I just asked him, and he's also a strong Christian at Suburban. I said, what's Suburban doing? What's going on there? He told me, you know, Suburban worships probably 300 to 400 or 500 sometimes, pretty big church. He said on a good Sunday right now, they're seeing about 50 people. So the reality of it is people are just not coming into buildings. And I think our members want to come back, but when I ask them, well, are you going to come? I'm getting no. So that's what I'm hearing from a lot of our members.
Mm-hmm. And we talked about that. And,
yeah.
You know, so.
Yep.
It's so too bad, but.
Yeah. Anyway, but it does. This is a good segue into our topic today. Just another note too, our Bible study plan next week, we're going to be doing Anxious About Nothing, which is a book by Max Licato. It's going to have a video portion. We kind of tested that out yesterday. Thank you, Oscar, Jonathan Holroyd too. We were here. We're going to be able to put a video through Zoom. And we kind of looked at the sound and got that all set up. So it'll be about a 10-minute video plus about, you know, 20 minutes, 10 minutes Bible study, 10 minutes of discussion. So that's going to be the format of the adult Bible study 5 weeks on Sunday. Just FYI. You don't need the book. It's a pretty simple thing. You can watch the video and it'll get you up to speed. But it'll be a blessing. It'll be good material. If you haven't read that book, I would highly suggest it. Anxious for Nothing. Of course, that comes from Philippians chapter 4. The other thing is that we have some men and women studies. The women's study is based on the promises of God, living the promises of God, not just holding on knowledge, but really living them heading into 2021. And we have about 10 ladies that have signed up for that. So that's good. If you want to be a part of that, let me know. And then also there's a men's study too. There's about 6 guys that meet. The women's study, I should say, meets the first and third Wednesdays every month. That's the 6th and the 20th of January from 2 to 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Kind of short, encouraging, trying to get people together, trying to not just get together, but challenge. How are we going to live in hope in the next year? And then the men are meeting too. On the 2nd and 4th Wednesdays from 2 to 3, we're tackling Galatians 5 and 6. So just wanted to get that out there. Lots of opportunities to engage and connect. Oh, the other thing, too, I'd share with you, pieces, we're just continuing, too, with our connecting with our ministry partners. So you can look forward to, on the 2nd and 4th Sundays, having those partners come in. They'll be covered on our online services. Next Sunday, Dave Jackson, Executive Director of Friends of the Family, is going to be with us. You'll see a little segment of him on the recording. Later in the month, I'm working on connecting with our missionary in Cambodia, so you can get to meet JP. I think it's not going to be on an online service. I think what we're going to try and do is set up maybe a Zoom call. JP and I have connected, and we just, you know, pray for each other via Zoom. I think we'll maybe do the same thing with our congregation, like at maybe 7 at night on some weekday. But my goal is every year I do this. How do we connect with our ministry partners? How can we get them to hear? How can we hear what their needs are so that you can hear it, not just me? That's kind of the goal. So JP is going to be with us. Be looking forward to information on that. I wanted to correct something that was shared in Callie's email too this morning. It was shared that Peace is offering communion by appointment, which that's always been our policy. If you see the slides, I looked up the slide for this morning's worship. It is accurate. That slide is accurate. What it says is Peace offers communion. You call me. I set it up and you come in, and I have no problem communing people throughout the week. In fact, there's 2 or 3 members that have a consistent practice of this. The thing that needs to be corrected is that email says we will commune people in home. That is not our policy. I'll tell this group here that I have done that for kind of emergency situations. But in light of the pandemic, I don't think it's a good idea for that to be a practice in the church. So, questions or thoughts on that? Good? Yeah. And again, we're offering communion. You just got to come in, like drive by, swing on through. I'll even give you a sermon if you want it, and I'll bring you communion. But hey, communion in the home, just not a great idea. So, all right. That's for me, but also for the person. I could be positive. You know, I don't want to pass the virus to our members. One member I did commune this week was Lou Rank. Lou is not doing well. She's probably not going to make it too much longer. So we had communion. Man, that was a powerful moment, though, to talk to her. Her dad was an LCMS pastor. Lou's 93. Her dad took a call, his first call in 1916. Wow. Okay.
Wow.
So 1916, he got a call. I'm not sure. I'm looking it up. His last name was Lechband, but he took a call in 1916 to Washington State, And guess what happened in 1916?
Pandemic.
Yeah. So her dad had to go live in South Dakota for 2.5 years. And his church was not in operation.
No.
That, if you look at the history of what our churches did, they did not gather for worship.
Really?
In person. They did not. During the Spanish flu, they did not gather. That is a fact. And that all throughout the country, not just the Northwest. So just know, like, what peace is doing is very much in line with what happened in 1917, 1918. Churches did. They didn't gather. That was common. In fact, her dad left the church that he was serving and lived with family members in South Dakota for 2 years. Then when things got settled, went back to pastoring. So anyway, it's a really interesting story. Okay, so that's good.